Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
As we go over all these topics tonight, you might like to refer to the articles which spawned the original conception of the program tonight. The articles Solar System Secrets 1 through 7 are available to look at right now or anytime in your leisure off the creativecosmos.org site or at the Creative Cosmos show page on the blogandservice.com page. And Solar System Secrets is going to be included with several other of the Creative Cosmos classic articles, the Angelic Scrolls of the Atman, Heavenly Data Transmission, and the Channelings of Archangel Christopher. They're all going to be combined in a book called Pearly Gates Press, Volume 1. So keep your eyes open for that as you surf through the creativecosmos.org site and some of the other sites, whatever you normally look at. So, and again, we have call-in, and we'll always have call-in, and I want you to know that if you have any ideas, even while I'm talking on a really mellow stream, don't think that you'll interrupt me or anything. I'm always happy to hear from people, and I'm really encouraging people to call in and share their point of view. That was part of the vision of the Creative Cosmos, is to not only come up with ideas, but to encourage others to share their ideas, and maybe by allowing possibilities myself, then other people will share their even most far-out thoughts or their things that they've always felt, but they've never had anywhere to express it. And I want you to know this is a good place to express it. And the number is 1-888-268-4313. And I'll repeat it every once in a while. One more time right now is 1-888, and it's toll free, 888-268-4313. So feel free to give a call anytime during the program. So I want to tell you that a few things to say as we get into this tonight. We're going to begin in a moment with a meditation, because we're going to get into some really out there ideas that I hope will spur your imagination and leave you wondering about things that maybe you didn't wonder about before. And one of the things I'm interested in doing is trying to use my consciousness and psychic abilities to recover lost history. And not just what we normally consider world history, but the history of existence in this realm. Everything that's occurred that's even of a since the creation of the universe. And we do this by opening up our third eye. So the first thing we're going to do is open up our third eye. And I want you to encourage a state of mind of where you listen to what I'm saying and you don't form a conclusion necessarily, well, I'm for that, I'm against that, or, yeah, I don't know, but just try to listen to it and let it bounce off you. It's designed to awaken things that you might remember inside yourself. And once we throw it out there, then you'll make it your own. And that's part of the idea of the mental territory concept that's a huge part of the show's intention, is to just cover ground, cover all kinds of ideas and not be off limits. And if it rings true for you, you'll know, you'll feel it inside. And if it did ring true for you, you probably have a very interesting benefit, and you'll remember more of yourself. And when you reflect upon that, then you'll continue to grow and expand. So first, I want everybody to realize that they have a third eye, and it's in the center of your forehead, just above the eyes. It'll be a slightly different place for everybody. But this is the link through which we can find out anything we want to find out. We only have to believe that we can. And that is the key, that we have to accept the possibility. If we truly believe it can be done, then it is possible. And that's the faith, that we know that if we are true to ourselves and follow what we feel, that it'll work out. So keep your attention in the center of your forehead. And you may not see anything at first, but quiet your eyes and allow the energy to accumulate. And sometimes you'll even feel an effect after the fact, maybe a day later, 2 days later. But eventually you get the hang of how this works. It's a very powerful device, and it's very natural. To me, the third eye is as common as my fingernails. I have become familiar with it. I've used it. I can tune into all kinds of different things with it. So we're just kind of jump-starting a process. Like many things, there may not be a single starting point, but we gotta begin somehow and somewhere, so we dive in and start sorting things out. So once we have a focus in the mind and a third eye point, think of the sun. And yes, I mean the sun in the center of our solar system. The sun itself has a consciousness. In a sense, it's a being. And one could even say it's the creator of our area of the universe. It's one level of creator. There is an energy which flows through it from yet higher sources, but essentially without the sun, there would be no solar system. And without the solar system, there'd be no life. And if we have consciousness, and can reflect upon ourselves, how much more could the sun? And is it possible that people on Earth in the past knew of this and regularly connected with the sun themselves, interacted with the sun on a regular basis, and that's what all these myths of the sun in the past were all about? And to transmit a message to the sun or through the sun, which I will get into later, we simply have to formalize it as an idea. Normally we think of things, and that brings it down to a concrete level in our mind. But even before we think it, there is intent, will which sets things into motion. So whatever our purpose is, be it mundane or sacred, we simply have to tune in through our third eye into the sun and will it to be so. And with patience and the subtlety of recognizing the return of these kind of forces, we can prepare ourselves to receive a response. And for this, we want to open up our heart in the center of our chest. And we do this, we can create a generally open-hearted state by living our purpose. If we're doing what makes us happy, our heart will tend to be relaxed and flowing. And if we feel as if we're oppressed in some manner or struggling, then we might be more closed down. And sometimes a battle to break the old patterns has to occur to shake up the status quo and free the heart. And that's where courage comes into play. So to receive a message, one must have an open heart and recognize the call of intuition and the manifestation of the imagination and the reality which this truly is. The answer will form inside of us. And it may have to come a few times before we fully recognize it, but it will come. In exploring some of these methods myself, I tune into what I've called secrets of the solar system. One question that many have considered before was whether humans have come from Mars, humans on the Earth, whether they came from Mars. And I know myself, for ever since I first saw it, it was on one of those cheesy shows in around 1980 or something like that. I saw a little news clip about the face on Mars. And this was, they just kind of reported on it and it went away. Now, I know what it was, like real people or some show like that. Are amazing. Oh, you get the idea. Anyway, they did a segment on it. And it must have been the Voyager mission from the 76 era I believe that's where the original pictures came from, the Voyager mission. And if you want to see the face on Mars, some of you probably seen it many times, but other of you may not have seen it that many times, or if you've never seen it, on the creativecosmos.org page, under the metaphysical section, I have a link to the face on Mars. And in that little thread there's also a link to Richard C. Hoagland's Enterprise mission website, where he's got some really fantastic pictures of the face on Mars on there right now. And what I think is that we feel drawn to gaze upon it, and when we look at the face, I think we're really seeking ourselves. And I think that we don't necessarily, although it'll be great when we can prove it, and some people are working on proving it to be so, I feel that the very fact that we have that feeling, that pull, that imagination, that tells something in and of itself. And I feel that many Earth souls and those of us who feel drawn to that remember being there. We may have had incarnations there or part of our soul developed there. And when we consider that both Mars and Earth and Venus are all red type of planets, and that Mars is now pretty dry and Earth is pretty balanced and Venus is quite the opposite, very heavy atmosphere, I kind of had the idea that maybe the planets were moving outwards. As the orbits go over the years, they gradually get a little farther and a little farther, and maybe that's Mars just became unsustainable after a while. Whatever caused it, it's quite possible that somehow DNA made it from Mars to the Earth. Whether actual people came in ships is a question to consider and wonder about. But somehow there's a link there. Somehow the DNA, somehow we remember of being connected to it. And I wonder further, as the Earth, if the Earth follows this process and gradually becomes uninhabitable, for one reason or another, someday it'll be so. Someday all things will pass. And I wonder, could we go to Venus? Are we going to Venus? Is that our destiny? On the planet of the goddess of love, perhaps we'll finally establish utopia, giving life to the true Lady Liberty. Maybe we can do it sooner. But as an idea, it has a certain ring to it. And I think we should even plan on sending DNA to Venus somehow. Now, I have complete faith in our scientists to do what they do. If there were visionaries saying, hey, can you find a way to send a DNA to Venus? Somebody will figure it out. And then maybe one day they will see the pyramids on Earth and they'll wonder about us. Were there really people on Earth? What were they like? Another solar system secret that I feel very strongly about, perhaps the most strongly about, is planet Minerva. Now, this is the name I've given to what I believe was the planet that used to exist where the asteroid belt currently exists between Mars and Jupiter. And I have a feeling that it was the middle of the old solar system and perhaps had a population of its own. And that galaxy travelers who came through this neck of the woods, cosmically speaking, knew about it and would stop by. And I always thought amongst the planet's names, we have Mercury and Venus and we'll skip Earth, but Mars and Jupiter, etc. These Roman god names that were derived from the Greek names. And to me, Athena is irreplaceable in the Greek pantheon and part of the core. And I always felt that that was missing, but maybe that is why. Because that planet is now missing. And then the Romanesque name of Athena is Minerva, and there we have planet Minerva. Right next to Jupiter, or Zeus, exactly where Athena belongs. And as I said, I feel like it was very well known, and there were travelers that would stop there, and there was a regular couple for quite some time. And I feel like something bad happened, something wrong, something dark, something that shouldn't have happened, happened. And somehow it involves with some of these travelers. There was a band of marauders who came through and somehow found a weak point in the planet. And one way or another, it exploded. And I made a connection that perhaps this the time of this explosion, that we all know that the dinosaurs became extinct because the most common theory, pretty much accepted now, is that some kind of an asteroid hit the planet and totally disrupted the normal ecosystem. Well, everything that manifests has an inner cause for it. And if we could say the explosion of planet Minerva would cause a projectile to come out and hit the Earth, that would date the destruction of planet Minerva at 65 million BC, about the same time as the extinction event. And I also get the distinct feeling that not all the dinosaurs became extinct. Again and again it comes up in me that some of them left. And it could be in, I considered that Orion, people from Orion, or beings from Orion, somehow came down and scooped up some DNA or some kind of a celestial Noah's Ark, came from the skies and harvested many of the dinosaurs. Or, like I said, the DNA, one way or another, they did not go into extinction, or they did not disappear completely. Now, even the dinosaurs, some of their presence as beings maintain existence even as they die, and that which lived continues and transfers to another form. But also, I believe, quite literally, some beings left and were taken somewhere. To a different realm of the galaxy where the energies operated in a different manner. You could even say it was an experiment by a scientific-minded group of beings to take this DNA and to cultivate it in a different area. We could even consider that it was somewhere in the Draco star system, and this mythological remembrance is to help keep the subtle truth alive. All throughout what we see as our normal day are remembrances of a ancient past and clues to the mystery of not only our existence, but the existence itself. Now, if you could consider that this DNA grew up on a different planet and changed, having some of the characteristics of the reptiles they were before, but also growing into, over many, many millennium, growing into more conscious beings that eventually developed into, even past the third dimension, into the fourth dimension. But that didn't mean necessarily that they were benevolent, because they didn't move into the full bloom of the heart, but more of just the first bleeding over into the lower astral realms, where certain kind of drives and instincts can still exist, particularly when it's intrinsic to the creature involved. But eventually the instinct kicks in and they want to come back to Earth. They feel pulled back to Earth. It is, though it's taking place on a very large scale in space, I mean, we see the same thing in nature. Animals feeling called to return to their birthplace, or pulled to a place where a ritual, maybe a mating experience occurs. But they very well would think to come back to Earth, and they would know right where to go to see what's happening and to maybe even reclaim what they felt was theirs. But when they got there, they find that they are now out of phase with the Earth realm and can't just manifest easily there, because they've changed too much. So this is where all of David Icke's work comes into play, and some of his ideas that they begin inhabiting host bodies. people that aren't really there, aren't conscious, bodies that are following a mechanized pattern and a mind that just grinds over its habits. It's like an open vessel to just hop right in for any entity on the lower astral realms. And sometimes even emotion, or if somebody who's like that has hate inside, that makes them a perfect conduit for a demon to jump in their body and to take over. And all kinds of beings. But we are protected by our guides and our guardian angels and our loved ones and ancestors. So I don't want to freak you out too much, but it's good to know just what's out there and what kind of the extent to which things take place, and the intricacies of relations up and down and through all the realms. And we will explore this even further in a moment. The different vibrations in different places and how it all works. But to lighten things up a little bit and to create a mood to continue, spacey kind of mood, I have another musical selection to play for you. I enjoy playing music, at least a couple tunes a show. And after the tune, I'll once again give the number. And please, somebody, if you feel any relation to the topic at all, let us know what you think about it. Or if you have any kind of realizations of your own or thoughts of your own regarding solar system secrets or even something coming on. I'm open to things shifting as well. So here's the song that I picked up for you today. It's called Three Guys from Galaxy 9.
Three guys from Galaxy 9, they're moving fast and doing just fine. They came here from outer space, so they could save the human race. Oh, three guys from Galaxy 9, they're moving fast and doing just fine. They came
to be back. And I'll give you that toll-free number once again, 1-888-268-4313. And I really want other people to become part of this show, and I want us to build a collective vibe where we share all this information and our ideas, and we manifest things and we make things happen together and with our collective energy nourishing all of us, because that's one of the universal laws, that if we give that, we will get that in return. And if we all do that, it will be amazing for everybody. And that's kind of the plan. That's the goal. That's the heart of the creative cosmos. Again, the number 1-888-268-4313. 888-268-4313. Give me a call. And I want to go back to this topic of different beings of different vibrations being in different places. And I'd like to use the Pleiadian example, because this was the first one I really tuned into that kind of awoken this link in this process within myself. I mean, one day I was just sitting there meditating, and I just said almost out loud to myself, or in my thoughts, I think I actually even didn't. I was alone, but I said it. I just said, I'm from Pleiades. But it wasn't from a place of preconception. It was a place of perception or inner realization. I just realized, oh, I'm from Pleiades. And then I realized that myself, I have angelic origins, and that this place in the Pleiades was where many angels were. But see, they're not like on a rock in space and 3D bodies. They're unencumbered. They're free beings. They're light beings, and they operate on a much higher frequency, and they don't have to come down. In fact, they relay through those of us in the 3D, which can raise up and meet them. And they can come a little ways, but they're of a much higher vibration. So we left the Earth and took a spaceship to the Pleiades somehow, someday, with, I don't know, I'm not convinced of nuclear propulsion as being the answer. There's got to be some other way of following the connection between two points of light. Somehow we'll figure out a way to ride waves across time and space. Maybe slip into the higher frequency and just zip, and then back down into the lower frequency, which is probably what some of the UFOs and aliens do that we see nowadays. They just slip a little higher and zing over to where they're going and zip back down. Something like that. But, oh yeah. As I was saying, if we actually took a spacecraft and our 3D bodies all cruised out over there, we wouldn't really see anything as far as entities are concerned, because that's not where they are. You see, the contact with other types of beings, both angelic and of alien, so to speak, origins, has already been made by many people. You know, we don't necessarily have to wait for somebody to do the reciprocal and land their ship and walk out with some kind of delegation and say, people of Earth, I come in peace from planet Zaytan. Hey, that'd be cool. I'd be all for that. And I would welcome them in peace. No question. I wouldn't be totally defenseless. I'd scrutinize or consider judiciously or wisely how the process unfolded, but I would greet anybody openly and warmly. But also, like what I was saying, there are beings who come and greet us, but not necessarily in that way, but just on a higher frequency. And we can use, like I was saying before, we could tune into the sun to communicate, and we can also communicate through the sun. And what I mean is, if we tune into that sun, we can then, through our intention, guide the thought form or message from the sun to another star. And then someone in that general area who has the same capability can receive it from the sun, from the star. So between stars, you can send messages. And that just makes sense. They're huge focal points. And they are also conscious in a different kind of a way. And it is easy to facilitate. You just think it there and bounce it over to another star. And also, there are messages being bounced to us in that manner from all types of places in the universe. And I believe that the Pleiadians are an example of one of these types of beings that have been in close contact with the Earth for a long time. And I feel that part of our most ancient history, Egypt, our most ancient known history, are considered from an establishment perspective, Egypt, and then myself, I totally have no doubts about Atlantis as well. Again, another thing, if we all, so many of us feel it and are interested in it and feel pulled toward it and want to believe in it, then that alone tells us something, that it has a reality in some form. And it may have been a place, it probably was a place, but it also has a mythological reality on a higher level. And I think one of the things that makes this distinct is that they thought of themselves and knew of themselves as people from the stars. They knew they came from out there, and various groups throughout history probably maintain that consciousness. And I think some of the Egyptian mysteries were carry over that, probably Atlantean mysteries were much like what initially came to Egypt. We just maybe lost the ability to interpret it very fluidly, or the deeper meaning behind the symbols. And what I think is that the gods of ancient Egypt and that symbology, mythology, they are part of what links us to the Pleiadian culture, that these people may have been in tune with that link and seemed like the bird-like gods. And but just even in a more ancient kind of a way, rather than thousands of years, think of millions of years. And there's a silence, but just kind of an echo, and almost like a dripping in the very far distance to signify the passing of time. So that is an example of a higher vibration and entities from a higher vibration, and how we can tune into it and exchange messages and trust in the process. For instance, write it down, just as we say with dreams. If you have a dream in your sleep, you write it down to save it. And many of these messages come in the imagination, even as a dream, and we have to validate them in some manner to externalize them. And even sometimes in this process, we are learning things about ourselves which we never even knew in the first place. So I always encourage, write it down, express yourself, and whatever you feel, trust it. Another issue facing people on Earth is what some call overpopulation. Now, I feel perhaps one reason the Earth is so full of people, and where in some places it gets pretty crowded, is because we are late in colonizing space. These people could have just expanded and gone out into the universe in various places where we could have used our technology rather than creating weapons of increasing deadliness. But we use those resources, not just financially, but the human spirit, to create. First we solve the situation on Earth, and then we bring goodness where we go. And again, I have complete faith that with the vision, the scientists can make anything happen. And I also agree with other people that say that the technology that's possible is far ahead of what we know, what we in a civilian life know. And if we could just free all this up and apply it in accordance with universal law, we would sort pretty much everything out. There would be details, but we could sort it out. But we get into the dullness of day-to-day affairs and think it's not possible. Well, thinking it's not possible, that's a big reason why it's not. We each have to awaken to this possibility and realize it ourselves, be part of what makes it happen. Really, I feel the International Space Station would be a good place to start. That we should really get that thing cooking, make it a great place, a place that is used as a stopping point to anywhere. And not just barely keeping it afloat, but make it a flourishing, creative environment. Bring not just scientists, but bring artists up there too and see what happens. Change the vibe completely. Why does it just have to be military-trained people that get the chance to go into space? We should send all types of people up into space. It shouldn't be that big a deal by now. We should have it done. And we could have had it done. So you see, that's why I think overpopulation is a big issue. We also could have built some sea cities, and there's all kinds of things we could do. So first the space station, and then of course build our first settlements. No, maybe not even settlements to begin with, just a little colony on the moon, a little place that we practice living in environments not conducive to life on as it is on Earth. But we can figure that out. We just have to make it something we collectively envision. If we envision it, it'll happen. We'll make it happen. Might take time. But patience is needed to shift the whole universe around a new vision. And of course, Mars. We can find out on the ground what is over there. And maybe there's something that we can do there too. And then Saturn's moons seem to be a very interesting place. These places have all been kind of looked at and examined and talked about as possibilities. So why not? Why not dream it and then make it happen? We have to believe in ourselves, and ourselves not as just as individuals, but believe in the goodness of humanity and the spirit which makes anything possible. And a final solar system observation that I can't help but avoid, or I can't help but see, or can't avoid, or whichever you'd like to say. Just considering Pluto and the discussion of whether it's a planet or not. And, well, myself, I feel that it's a moon. I can't feel it like I can feel the other planets. I can feel in some way the vibe of the other planets. Maybe Mercury's a little hazy, but since it's so close to the sun, we'll give it the benefit of the doubt. But Pluto most likely is an escape moon of Neptune, just hanging out there, and that's why it kind of broke away and got that oblong orbit. But it doesn't stand on its own as a radiant planet that gives off a tremendous vibe which we can tune into and experience something from. And maybe that's the quality of it, Pluto. Because Pluto is absence of the underworld, god of the underworld. That's a pretty good name for that rock. I just don't think it's a planet. And even though it has other things rotating around it, they're all moons. And probably the new number 10 planet is another moon. The original 9 planets didn't include Pluto, but did include Minerva. And to close, I'd like to bring the Minerva concepts back to the front and just consider that, and that planet that used to be where the asteroid belt is, and send healing vibration to the solar system. And if any of these things ring true to your heart, make sense, or whether we've covered some territory that remains in you after this broadcast, then we will definitely have served a fine purpose tonight and in the days ahead. I do look forward to speaking with you. We'll get the ball rolling on the talk, on the interaction, and explore some of your thoughts as well. And I hope that you are having a wonderful time right now, and that you felt a little bit of the stardust that magically invigorates our imagination. And that we ourselves are starlight, light beings. And keep in mind your celestial heritage. Many of us have come to the Earth from other star systems or other galaxies. And if you hear this, maybe something will stir within you and it'll awaken a remembrance of something you didn't even know that you had lost, but then upon finding can't imagine living life without. And you'll integrate that into the whole of your being. And your life will continue to reflect this glow in the days ahead. To keep the mood and to send you out into that beautiful night, I'd like to close with a very spacey cosmic track by a group called Celestial Keys, which consists of me, Amy Butson, Paul Hartsaw, all interacting from the higher frequencies on keyboard. So if you were to close your eyes and listen to it, we'd finally bring you out of the body, and maybe you can link to that greater remembrance. It's been a pleasure speaking with you this evening, and all is well. Here's the song, Universal Alternative by Celestial Keys.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.